You're listening to Footy Roundup. Rob Serjanik and Matt Tidcombe. We'd like to formally thank you for listening on this historic occasion. Matt, this is going down the annals of podcast history. We have Footy Roundup episode 20, 2-0.
I never thought we'd make it to number 5, and here we are, down at number 20.
It's come a long way since the inaugural episode with no music. Yeah, it doesn't feel the same without Dropkick Murphys, does it?
Every show has to lead in with that, otherwise it wouldn't feel right.
Shout out Dropkick Murphys.
Absolutely.
Matty, Toronto FC is donezo. I mean, we mentioned last week, no surprise to any of us, right? They were, mathematically still alive, but like we said, it was, for all intents and purposes, basically over since that Dynamo defeat.
Yep.
I don't even know what to say about it now. A 1-1 draw against Montreal, officially eliminated from the playoffs for the 8th straight season. Just a sheer and utter disappointment again for fans of the Reds across the city.
Doesn't it kind of just sum up TFC in a nutshell, the game against Montreal? They go into that game, they have to win. There is no if or but. They have to win that game, and they draw home with the worst team in MLS.
Yeah,
like that. Just if there is a way to summarize this season, that could be, that might just be it, because they're useless. How do you go into this game knowing you have to win and you draw the worst team in the league? It's embarrassing. It's a joke. In the end, it didn't really matter because Columbus went on.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, from at least the fans' perspective, who cares? It wasn't good enough. But the players don't know this ahead of time, and they once again did nothing.
Yeah, Columbus didn't play until the next day.
Yeah.
So, TFC, had the opportunity to put some pressure on Columbus, thinking, oh, you got to win, or not lose, I should say. And, they couldn't even do that. You muster a 1-1 draw with blinking Montreal. Come on, boys. I think that pretty much sums up what the TFC season in pretty much a nutshell there.
It sums up TFC's history.
Well, that too.
I mean, really. At the end of the day, everyone will always make comments, and I agree with these types of comments that, you have to take care of your own game, like you mentioned. Apply the pressure. Make it at least more difficult. At least you can say and look yourselves collectively in the mirror and say, we did our part. Toronto can never do that. They never do their part. And like we mentioned before on our last couple shows, we said regardless of what Columbus did, we figured Montreal or Toronto would probably stub their toe anyways. And here we go. They maybe twisted their ankle more than they stubbed their toe.
Broke their leg. Off
to the infirmary.
Whatever analogy you want to use. They're toast for another season. It's hard to just look at this in a positive way because
it really is. Yeah.
Technically, this is their best season in history. They have the most wins in history.
I'm already hearing rumors, too, Matt, that the PR spin going to be for the season ticket holders, when they reach out the reps, that they're going to try to push that it's the highest point total they've ever achieved.
do you really care
to hear that?
Wowzers.
And it still wasn't good enough. Awesome. Sign me up with a price increase, please, MLSE.
But the other part about this is, remember a few months ago we were TFC had 7-8 points into the playoffs, they had games in hand, it was all rosy-dosy, 89% they made the playoffs. Obviously we know they're out of the playoffs, but they're 8 points behind now.
Yeah, it's not close.
That's a 15-point plus swing as to where they were to where they're going to finish up. If they lose to New England this weekend and Columbus win, they're going to be 12 points behind, 11 points behind. Holy moly, it just shows you how fast the season went downhill. There's a number of reasons to Defoe injury, then question mark about his commitment about being in Toronto, wanted to be in Toronto, obviously firing Ryan Nelson.
Ryan Nelson one, Matt, bothers me a little bit. I've been reading a lot of stuff online in various Toronto FC supporters group, Red Patch Boys and their message board and their forum, and just trying to get a feel and a pulse of what the fans and, the bigger supporters of the team are feeling. And there's a lot of discussion about how much it was a bad decision at the time to fire Nelson. And probably a good portion of that is, it's revisionist history almost. It's done and it didn't work, so now you can complain about it, right?
Yeah.
But to me, I didn't like it at the time either. They were in third in the conference. I know they were playing great, but how do you not just let them see things out? How bad were things behind the scenes to fire Nelson? Because it got even worse with Greg Vanney.
Yeah, I think they won 2 games under Vanney, was it?
Yeah, the record got worse. I think they were 3-4-3 or something like that in Nelson's final 10, and then they let him go because they said they were trending in the wrong direction. Well, Vanney's didn't even do that.
Was worse than that. Yeah, I'll be honest, I never agreed with hiring Nelson in the first place, because you don't take a guy who's never coached a day in his life as a pro player and make him a coach of an MLS team. But that pretty much sums up Toronto management in a nutshell. But then I didn't think they needed to fire him either. They were struggling. Is it Bezuchenko?
Bezuchenko,
I did get it right. for him to come out and say, he's undermining us and disrespectful and stuff. Get lost, dude.
Yeah.
Just accept the fact you guys dropped the ball again. Leave the guy in. He was... you know, he was guiding TFC to a playoff spot.
At
yes,
the
they
time,
were
exactly. They were struggling, but they were still
but they
in
were
a
still
playoff
alive.
Situation.
I mean, ifs and buts, who really knows anymore? But, you know, I would venture that they would have had a better chance of still making the playoffs with Nelson than they did with Vanny.
I would say so. And now my concern heading into next season, I don't think they shouldn't give Vanny a chance. I mean, unless like a super qualified candidate presents itself, yeah, I'm okay with starting with Vanny. But what happens, you know, halfway through next season when they're struggling again, Matt, let's fire another coach midseason
right.
and continue the same gong show. If Vanny stays, he better stay for the entire year. That's my opinion on that.
Yeah, well, with TFC management, I wouldn't bet on it.
No.
Because, I mean, that's just the way they operate.
There's no consistency. They do have some pieces there, and it's this rollover of coaching. And, you know, each year I remember when I used to be a season seed holder, and the players' names would change every year. And in some cases, you're like, okay, I'm glad this guy's gone, or I'm happy they brought in this guy. But, like, when you have to look at the roster sheet to even know your team, when you follow your team pretty closely,
yeah.
I don't know how a team can develop or grow any chemistry together.
Well,
what team gets better
chemistry.
When they're switching players all the time?
Chemistry doesn't exist when you're just switching guys.
No.
Like, you can bring in, like, Defoe and Brady, who are great players, but it doesn't matter when the rest of the team doesn't know anyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. I mean, you got to have chemistry. Great players don't make great teams.
No.
So, anyway.
Well, that's it for them. Vancouver.
Well, they still have that New England this weekend.
They do have a game, yeah. Was it New England they're playing?
Yeah, away from home. So, anyway.
I'm sure there'll be a great TV turnout for that TFC game.
Yeah, I guarantee that won't be at all.
Moving on to happier times and, you know, happier teams in the MLS in Canada. Vancouver.
Montreal?
No. Oh. Not, well, maybe, actually, if you think about it. They technically did, quote-unquote, eliminate TFC,
right.
Who essentially eliminated themselves.
They've been playing quite well the last 2 months. Or
yeah.
Anyway,
but Vancouver-Portland, they both drew their games 0-0 versus San Jose and Real Salt Lake, respectively. Mm-hmm. Situation's still the same, Matty. Vancouver's
yep.
a point up.
Yeah, I mean, they control their destiny, right?
Yep.
You win and you're in. They play, who do they play, Rob? Colorado.
Home against Colorado, yeah.
Home against Colorado. So a home game as well, which is a big advantage for them. They seem to play quite all right at home.
Even more of an advantage because Portland's away, too.
At Dallas, who
yeah.
already, you know, locked up a playoff spot. So hopefully for
the Whitecaps,
Vancouver,
I think,
sake,
maintain their nerve. They should get the spot, I would think.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, they're a better team than Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So, logically, they should win. But realistically, we never know how it's going to show up. But, I mean, the San Jose game, I watched the San Jose game, and it was, I felt like Vancouver, actually, I watched the Portland game as well, the Friday night.
Oh, I watched the Portland, too. I just love watching their fans. It just rocks every
that
time.
That dude with the chainsaw makes me nervous, though, because that is just a disaster waiting to happen.
I know, yeah, they complain about confetti and flares.
And this dude's operating a fully functioning chainsaw cutting up wood on the side of a soccer field.
Yeah.
Because that screams health and safety well. But anyway, I digress. That Portland game was interesting because Portland, they knew they had to go for it and they just couldn't find a way through. But I felt Vancouver on this Saturday, I think they were playing almost for a draw. They played like they didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
They didn't create. They had a few couple of opportunities, but I didn't think they created lots and lots.
I wonder if the nerves of a young club and a young coach are kicking
maybe
in there. They don't want to, you know, hang themselves before the actual deciding game, right?
Right, because I mean, they would have gone into that game knowing what Portland did,
mm-hmm.
So I think that would have played in their mind that, well, if we don't lose, we still
control
our destiny.
Yeah, because we talked about matching Portland, right?
Exactly, that's what they have to do, right? So if you know, after seeing Portland draw, if they'd gone in and lost that game, then suddenly the ball's in Portland's
mm-hmm.
court, because they would control their destiny more than Vancouver would there.
Yeah.
So I think Vancouver kind of went into that game a little defensively, too much for my liking, rather than taking it to San Jose, a team they could logically beat. But at the end of the day,
they could have locked it up with a win too, right?
They
would have
done.
Been 4 points up.
Yeah, they would have locked it up, but obviously they didn't feel. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't go for it, but I felt they were a little too.
You could have gone for it more.
Yeah, I think they're a little cautious. So, but anyway, I mean, at the end of the day, they're in the spot they want to be in. You can't ask for anything more than to control your own destiny.
Well, MLS in Canada, the teams love keeping it exciting to the death. Eh?
Yeah, they sure do.
Let's not lock anything up ahead of time. We want to give as many fans as many ulcers as we can.
Absolutely right.
Moving on to Montreal, their last game is at home against DC United. Like you said, they've been trending in the right direction recently. They've been playing better in better form. I mean, the pressure hasn't been there, so that's probably been a big factor in
right.
it. But I think they got to approach next season with a little bit of optimism, especially if they can find a piece or two in the offseason too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, they're trending upwards. Montreal are, no, I mean, they were in the playoffs not too long ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they suddenly went bad, like,
yeah.
out of nowhere. Well, like, I guess they did kind of go bad out of nowhere because they kind of just dropped.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too, Matt, where the results almost like snowball. Like, the negativity comes around the team when you lose a lot quickly early, and then it kind of
right.
becomes hard to almost shovel yourself out of that pit, right?
Be curious to see what they do with DeVial, though.
DeVial, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably been their best player for the last, what's he been there now, 3 years? Two, three years?
Couple seasons at least, yeah.
And, you know, I
noticed
he's
no spring chicken, too. I think he's 36, 37.
Yeah, he's getting
like
up
that.
There in age.
Yeah.
But, you know, I noticed he's been coming off the bench a little more recently. So I'm wondering if they're
maybe it's
kind
in
of,
the situation they're in too.
Yeah, may as well play the young kids, or maybe his time is just kind of winding down. Who really knows? But at a Montreal trending upwards, I mean, it can only get up from here, right? I mean, they are the worst team in MLS, so it can't get any worse. So that's the way you have to approach it, I think, for them next year.
In other MLS news, Maddie, it's going to be Landon Donovan's last regular season game. And what a regular season game it's going to be. Oh, just Seattle, LA, ho-hum for
two
the
best
Supporters
teams
Cup.
In MLS,
yeah, 61 points each. You know, the winner's going to take the Supporters' Shield.
Right.
I'd say that's a fairly big game.
Yeah, I think it qualifies as that.
Yeah, maybe an appropriate way for Donovan to end his regular season.
Yeah, especially if he bagged a winner here. Seattle were at home, so Seattle and our top, so they need just a draw to clinch the Shield. Yeah, I mean, I guess just reflecting quickly on Donovan, obviously he's MLS's greatest player. There's no hoo-ha about that. And obviously he made his last
USA's
international,
as well,
last U.S. international appearance last week as well. So, you know, I mean, he is arguably the greatest player, and maybe he can guide LA to one more title before he hangs them up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be close between these two sides. They've been, you know, neck and neck all season. From the Supporters' Shield perspective, Matt, how important is that? How much of an emphasis would you put on winning or taking that home? I think it's always nice to get a trophy,
but who
in
cares,
North America,
really?
It's about the playoffs, right? It's not the same like the Premiership or La Liga or anything like
that. Exactly. It's a trophy to put in the cabinet, and it doesn't really... Well, I guess it'll get you number one seed in whichever conference you're in.
Yeah.
But apart from that, who really cares? Because it doesn't win you the MLS or anything. It doesn't win you the MLS Cup, right?
So no, it doesn't. And I mean, there's been a number of Supporters' Shield winners who haven't won the MLS Cup.
Right.
So it doesn't even really assure you of, you know, even getting to the finals or what have you. But it's a different beast out here in North America. Winning the league, I think, of course, would have way more
importance. I'd still like to
if
see
you didn't
MLS
have that playoff. I'd like them to do that format.
I'd like to move them to like I think when the league finally grows and they can maybe split into two divisions.
So 10?
Yeah, or maybe 12. Yeah. They got to make it a bit more. Like, Scotland has 10 leagues, 10 teams in it. It's a joke as it is. But when they, you know, they keep expanding. Obviously, we've got Orlando and New York coming, and then there's a couple. Atlanta is getting a team, and I'm sure they're going to expand a bit more. I would like to see them move to a traditional league format.
I'm with you. As a soccer purist, I much prefer that. I don't know that it's ever going to happen here, though.
Yeah, I'd
like
be surprised.
North America has an obsession
with
divisions and division winners and playoff systems and knocking out. I don't think the average fan here would be able to comprehend the relevance of a league where, oh, now it's over and you had the most points and that's it. Like, what about the playoffs? You know,
I mean, even you look like back in England, take out the Premier League, all the other divisions have playoff rounds now to see who goes up.
And they're
even
considered secondary, though, of course, the main league.
And even in rugby, like the Premier League now, that, you know, you win the league, you don't win the league. You have to now go for a playoff spot, like a playoff tournament. So I know playoffs are kind of taking over, I don't know, sports to some extent. Another quick note, not MLS related, but NASL, North American Soccer League. Spanish legend Raul was signed to play for New York Cosmos. And apparently it's a multi-year deal. And he's going to head up their youth academy, which begins next year.
That's got to be a PR thing, I would think.
Yeah, I mean,
it's maybe sliding into more his job post-soccer.
Well, the youth academy thing, right? But, I mean, the Cosmos are obviously a legendary name. Obviously, they had Pelé back in the day and stuff. But I'm curious why he chose that and not maybe an MLS route. But
it's interesting. Maybe he wants to build up his credentials before going to a higher level, which would be better than we see with some of these other guys like Nelson and what have you. So, Maddie, switching to the Big Four leagues, starting off with the English league. Man United, a late equalizer versus West Brom, but drop points again.
Yeah, Daley Blind got a 87th minute goal.
Nice goal, too,
Yeah, actually, both United's goals in that game were quite nice. Fellaini had a really good goal, too.
I mean, on the balance of play, I'd like to say that maybe United should have won, but West Brom was clinical, and United was, you know, for lack of better words, buffoonish in defending again.
Yeah, their defense is all over, all over the shop.
If you can't hold, you know, the clean sheet or keep your back line tight and the other team takes their chances, can you really complain about a result at the end of the
game? Not really. I saw Louis van Gaal said it was probably United's best performance of the season, though.
In a draw with West Brom?
In a draw and away from home against Albion. I mean, that's...
West Brom. West Brom, Albion,
So, I mean... it, like you said, though, it's drop points again, right? You know, they kind of were trending a little upwards, and now that's a, you know, a poor result at the end of the day.
It seems like we're carrying this theme, Matty. For the listeners who haven't heard from the beginning, Matt's preseason pick was Man United to win the title in the Premiership. Are you sure at this point? And mine was Chelsea. So everyone knows how well Chelsea's doing. And with Man U, one week, you know, Matt sees a good result. He's like, things are turning around now. Next week, I'm like, Matt, halt the brakes on Man United.
Well, like last,
so it's really up and
like
down.
Like last week, they were in fourth place, right? You know, when they went into the international pick of fourth place.
Now they're out of
the
top five.
There were some, well, I mean, striking range in the Premier League is quite a lot away usually, but I mean, they were, I think, 7-8 points behind Chelsea, which, You know, I mean, that's three losses, three wins kind of deal. Two losses and a draw. So quite a big chunk to catch up on. But they were at least getting closer. And now, you know, Chelsea win again. And United drop points. Chelsea winning 2-1 at Crystal Palace. Good. Mm-hmm. Good away win for them, I believe. Was it away from home? I believe it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, you've got to pick up your points, right? You know, these lower league, not lower league, these lower tiered sides or ranking sides in the Premier League are always tricky to go to, like Stoke and Southampton and these boys. Southampton are good this year, actually, but, you know, Palace can be a tricky place to go to sometimes, like West Brom is for United. West Brom are always a team who play the top sides well, even at home and away from home, too. I guess a couple of other results. Man City winning 4-1 against Spurs. Sergio Aguero had a pretty decent day.
Yeah, he sure did. What he beg? Not one, not two, not three, but four, to quote LeBron James.
I was gonna say, you put in LeBron here? Or?
Not one.
So, I mean, good day for Man City there. They keep running.
It's a bad loss for Tottenham, too. So decisive.
Get just hammered like that. Burnley 1, West Ham 3 for the Burnley and West Ham fans. Southampton 8, Sunderland 0. That's one-sided.
Wow, yeah. We've seen a couple, you know, 6-0, 7-0 type results. Now we've won Upton, we've gotten an 8-0.
8-0, I mean. And
that's rough.
What made me laugh, I was watching the highlights of this game, and the very first own goal, the very first goal for Southampton was an own goal after about 15 minutes, and it was one of those goals where the defender literally just punched the ball in his own net, and it's like, that pretty much sums up how this afternoon's going to go.
How about Liverpool's gong show result too, Matty?
Yeah, that was quite entertaining too, right? I mean, 3-2 away at QPR,
multiple
good result.
Late goals, multiple own goals.
Just all over the place. Yeah. And I mean, you know, Dunn scores an own goal to give Liverpool the lead, then Vargas scores in the 87th minute to make it 1-1. You're thinking, okay, well, maybe they just sell if it's an equalizer. Then Coutinho goes down the other end and bangs a winner in the 90th minute. Nice finish from the right-hand side. And then the next thing you know, Vargas is equalized for QPR with a header. And you're like, holy macamole.
So that's got to be it today.
So that's got to be it. Nope. Raheem Sterling, I believe it was, breaking down the left wing, cuts the ball across, you know, across the face of goal, and Kolkner, with his like gazelle-like legs, accidentally trips over the ball and kicks it into
another
the wide,
own goal.
Wide open net for an own goal. Like,
you can't script something that ridiculous.
It was
really
crazy. I mean, 3-2, good win for Liverpool, a win they needed. Balotelli had an absolute nightmare. Missed a wide open goal, missed another really good chance. He is just,
it's been disappointing, yeah.
Crap.
I mean, I don't think any fan thought he'd, you know, be a full-fledged replacement for Suarez, but you'd hope maybe he could do 65-70% of what he did. It's not even close right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're just getting no production out of
him. I think that's hurting Liverpool a lot, too. Having that true nine who could just bag home his chances. I think, you know, it's putting a little bit too much pressure on Stevie G, which, is basically commonplace for Liverpool.
And Sturridge still injured.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... You know, they're relying on Balotelli to bang goals. That's what they paid the 16 mil
for. And the back line's getting exposed a bit too, trying to push up more than they should. It's not a good system for them right now.
It's not looking good for Liverpool. I mean, but having said that, you know, they got the win, which I guess is the most important thing for them.
So Arsenal draw 2-2 with Hull?
Yeah, last minute. I mean, Arsenal score so many late goals, don't they? Danny Welbeck bagged a goal in the 90th here. I didn't watch this. I saw parts of this game, I should say. Arsenal... You know, it's drop points at home with Hull. I mean, there's no other way to put this. I mean, these are the kind of games they got to win if they want to keep up with Chelsea at the top of the table. And Arsenal always good for a couple of stupid home results every year.
Screwy team, that's
like,
what I told you.
Like Liverpool, they're in the exact same boat.
Higher quality than a Tottenham, but they screw around a little bit too points. Yeah.
They will drop between 6 to 9 points that they shouldn't drop at home every season.
And that adds up by the end when they're, what,
when
six, 7 points
six,
out?
7 points behind. Yeah. So,
Matty, to the end of the table, we got Chelsea 22 at top, Man City second with 17, Southampton third at 16, West Ham, United, and Liverpool joint on 13 in fourth place. Big matches this weekend, Man City versus West Ham Saturday, Man United, and the aforementioned Chelsea on Sunday. Your quick thoughts on those two matches?
Must win for United.
Really is, isn't it?
It has to be. I mean, they're 10 points behind already.
I think Chelsea would be satisfied with the draw here.
Oh, they'd be. I think they'd be fine with the draw. Yeah. I mean, I haven't said that. Then if Man City do win, you know, they're suddenly with only 3 points behind.
Yep.
But no, from Man United's perspective, they need 3 points here. I mean, a draw would be better. I mean, well, they cannot lose.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line here, because then they're suddenly 13 points behind. Sorry.
And then that's all she wrote.
And then that's
likely.
Pretty much all she wrote for chasing the league title.
Unless we can reincarnate Fergie back on the United sideline, maybe that would change something.
Right,
I think Man City is going to look at this West Ham result kind of as a must-win too.
Yeah,
not quite a must-win, you know what I mean? It's early, but I think they want to be a legit contender here, and they should beat them.
Well, exactly. I mean, West Ham have had a good start to the year in fourth place, but you know, at the end of the day, Man City should be beating these guys. I mean, that's the bottom line here.
Yep. Moving on to La Liga, Atletico 2-0 over Espanyol, Real 5-0 over Levante, Barcelona 3-0 over Eibar. I guess just another day in La Liga?
Yeah, pretty much. The big three winning again, right? Xavi, Neymar, Messi scoring the Barcelona goals all in the second half. Ronaldo scored twice, two more times. Hernandez, Isco got a goal. I always like Isco. He doesn't play enough in my liking.
Yeah, we both wanted to see him on that Spanish roster.
Yeah, we
too,
did. I'm a big fan of Isco. He's also a very good contributor on my FIFA Ultimate team. And James Rodriguez got a goal.
Shout out FIFA
goal.
Ultimate
Absolutely
team.
Absolutely FIFA. And Atletico, Thiago and Suarez got the two goals for them. Sevilla also picked up a good 2-0 away win at Elche, however you say that. My Spanish isn't always the best.
Elche,
sure. And then Deportivo beat Valencia 3-0. That's a real big loss for Valencia, who are fourth in the league, who are looking to kind of keep pace with Sevilla and Barcelona and Madrid at the top of the table. So
yeah, things are pretty tight on the table right now.
Yeah, La Liga's looking good this year.
Barca on 22 in first, Sevilla 19, Real 18, Valencia and Atletico 17. Probably not too much in the way of surprises in that table.
No, I think that's... I mean, when you think of Spanish football, those are the five teams you think of. And
yeah.
You'd also consider Real Sociedad in there, who are 16th in the league. They played yesterday, Rob. I haven't got a note here who they lost to. They were 1-0 up going into injury time in the 90th minute. Lost 2-1. They were in the Champions League last year.
Yeah.
And they're, we're going to touch on Germany here in a minute, how some of these teams are struggling here too.
Germany's just a gong show right now.
Germany's all over the place this year. But Sociedad trending downwards, 16th on the table, 5 points from 8 games.
Well, there's one fairly important game on the docket for La Liga, just Barca and Real this weekend.
Is that considered big?
That's considered maybe my future Champions League final, so I would say yes.
Big game. Who's at home, Rob, actually? Do you have that noted down?
I don't have that one noted down. We could find that out, though.
Let's have a quick look here. Yeah. But, either way, El Clasico doesn't get much bigger than that, right? Let me say that. El Clasico is, versus Real Madrid. So.
Well, Real being 4 points behind, you'd think the incentive on them would be on them to pick up a result here, too.
Right, it's Real Madrid who are at home.
Okay, so even more so.
Yeah, so Real Madrid
needs to draw it.
Yeah, I don't think they can lose, and then suddenly they are trending 7 points behind, right? So,
I'll definitely be tuning into that one.
Yeah, we'll be finding a way to watch that one.
Bundesliga results. Bayern 6-0 over Werder Bremen. Cologne beat Dortmund 2-1. Leverkusen self-destruct with a 3-3-all draw with Stuttgart. Wolfsburg with a nice 2-1 win over Freiburg. And I'm going to try this. Borussia Mönchengladbach 3-0 over Hanover.
Your German's getting better.
I was going to leave that one for you.
the result to look at here, let's eliminate the Bayern 6-0 win over Werder Bremen because that was first versus bottom.
Yeah.
Philipp Lahm scored twice, for those who want to know that. But Bayern Leverkusen were 3-0 up against Stuttgart and blew a 3-0 lead. They were 2-0 up after 9 minutes. And Son scored twice, sorry. And Bellarabi scored the third goal. This kid, Bellarabi, I was watching him in the Euro qualifiers for Germany last weekend. He's the real deal, this kid. He's going to be a great player. He wasn't part of the World Cup squad, but now he's come into the team and he played really well the first two games, even though Germany didn't really do all well as a team. But anyway, Leverkusen blew the 3-0 lead. Stuttgart come back. That's an awful result for
brutal
for Leverkusen.
You can't have it. They've
they're trending in sixth place right now. You know, they're on 13 points. The two more points they would have had would have put them in third and 5 points behind Munich.
After a strong start, they're struggling a little bit here.
They are. They've really struggled the last couple of weeks. You know, we highlighted how Rob at least
the tradition
once a
of
week,
bopping the mic.
Rob at least hits the mic once, and if that was what it was again.
It's a little tight in here. We need to move up to the penthouse.
But Leverkusen, they beat Dortmund to start the year, and they've kind of, they've kind of trended backwards a little from there. They've won some games. They've won 3 times and drawn 4. They've only lost 1-7. Outside of Bayern Munich, Mönchengladbach, Hoffenheim, and Mainz, who haven't lost this year, Leverkusen, the only team who's only lost once. So, they're not losing, but they're not winning either, which is the problem here.
Yeah, Hoffenheim and Mainz, pretty good form. They're in a 3-way tie with Wolfsburg for third on 14 points. Yep. The big surprise, Mönchengladbach in second at 16. The no surprise to anybody, Bayern Munich on 20.
Yeah, and Paderborn are still kind of hovering.
They're lurking, eh?
They're hovering. seventh place with 12 points.
They're Tottenhamming it.
Kicking around a little still. But
we're somewhere.
And Dortmund losing at Cologne is not good for Dortmund, who are 14th. And
some big games.
13 points behind Bayern Munich.
Some big games this weekend, Matty. Munich and Mönchengladbach, feels strange to say, first versus second. Mainz versus Wolfsburg. And Leverkusen and Schalke is another kind of interesting matchup.
And Schalke won 2-0 against Hertha Berlin. Jan-Klaus Huntelaar and Julian Draxler, the two best players, picked up a couple of goals there for them.
So maybe as this continues, we'll see the Bundesliga sorting itself out a little bit clearer. It's still a little too murky for my taste to be able to analyze.
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place. But like the battle for those Champions League spots, I mean, can anyone catch Bayern Munich now? They only play 3-4 games in Bundesliga. You know, they're down to 28 games left already now. So
the last one, Matty, Serie A, Milan 3-1 over Hellas Verona, Internazionale 2-2 versus Napoli, Torino 1-0 over Udinese, Roma 3-0 over Chievo Verona. These two Verona teams are strange to me. And Sassuolo draw Juventus 1-1.
I mean, the big result here is Juve drawing away at Sassuolo.
Yeah.
And then obviously Roma beating Chievo 3-0 thanks to goals from Destro Lalic and Francesco Totti.
It retightens that up, though.
Yeah, they're only 1 point behind now. Juventus 19 points from 7 games, and then Roma now 18 from 7. And Roma did lose to Juve before the international break. Inter Milan and Napoli was quite the game, too. A little similar to the Liverpool game. Callejon put Napoli ahead 1-0. 78th minute, Guarini equalizes a couple minutes later. Callejon last minute to make it 2-1 Napoli. And then Hernandez comes down the other end and not home an equalizer in the 90th minute, too. So good game there. It was an exciting game, I guess. Milan beating Hellas Verona 3-1. Kazuki Honda got a couple of goals there for Milan. So, and Lazio won 2-0 away at Fiorentina, too.
Matty, rounding out the rest of the table behind Juve and Roma, we got Sampdoria at 15, AC Milan 14, Udinese 13.
Lazio, Napoli, Verona, and Inter.
Game to watch for Serie A this weekend, probably, I would say, is Roma-Sampdoria, second versus third.
Yeah, of course, right? I mean, you know, Sampdoria actually haven't lost this year, which is, I mean, surprising at the end of the day. They've won 4 and drawn 3. Maybe Roma are the team
to... It's going to keep you at the top of the table and you're not losing.
Well, absolutely, right? I mean, but like kind of like Werder Bremen, they're not losing, obviously, but they are drawing a little too much.
As much as they're winning, yeah.
As much as they're winning. So, but I mean, good start for Sampdoria. It's nice to see them kind of back up. You know, they're a legendary team in Serie A, right? They're kind of the... You know, now you think of Serie A, you think Juve, Milan, Inter, Roma, you know, Napoli with their success in recent years. And you kind of forgotten about their Sampdorias. And like the Fiorentinas, but you know, Sampdoria off to a good start.
Yeah, even the Lazio a little bit.
Even too. Lazio, yeah. Right? I mean, Lazio were overshadowed by having Roma play in the same stadium, in the same city, especially considering Lazio have struggled the last couple of years.
My last couple minutes of the show, we're back to UEFA Champions League time, which was always one of
always
my
fun.
Favorite times. Today, we had CSKA Moscow, Man City playing each other, Roma, Bayern coming up, Apoel, Paris Saint-Germain, Bate, Shakhtar, Porto Athletic, Schalke Sporting, Chelsea Maribor, and Barcelona Ajax. To me, the two games I'm really keeping my eye on are Roma and Bayern and Barcelona and Ajax, since Barcelona's been struggling a touch in the Champions League.
Right. Roma versus Bayern, it's in Italy. That's second versus first. Bayern on 6 points, 2-2. Roma have they beat Moscow in their first game and then drew away with Man City 1-1 in their last game. So that's a really, really huge game. I mean, that's two of the bigger soccer teams in the world, head-to-head clash. So that's going to be a great game to look out for. Like you said, Barcelona playing Ajax. Barcelona, like you said, have struggled. 4 points from their first two games.
Strange to say that, but they haven't...
Barcelona have 3 points, sorry.
They haven't looked that great, though.
No, they haven't. And Ajax haven't lost yet. They've drawn both their games so far. So
that's going to be interesting.
Maybe Barcelona, maybe a bit of home advantage might be what separates the two teams here. Chelsea-Maribor. You know, I mean, Chelsea should... Should win.
But I mean, I guess they're a little safer bet than Liverpool and Ludogorets.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, Maribor haven't lost. They've drawn both their games so far. So
yeah, they're hanging in there.
You know, and then Porto, they play Athletic Bilbao. I mean, there's some good games in this week, but I wouldn't say there's many. You know, I don't think people are too worried about Apoel, Paris G, or Bate, Shakhtar, or, you know, even, I mean, Man City people care about, but even them playing Moscow isn't.
Yeah, it's not that juicy matchup for the casual fan.
No, not really, no.
Speaking to that end of a juicy matchup for a casual fan, though, Wednesday features Liverpool and Real Madrid. I think that would qualify.
I think that does. I was reading, actually, last night, a bit of trivia. You know, Real Madrid have never beaten Liverpool?
I did not know that.
Yeah, that apparently that's, you know, in like competitive play. I'm sure they
were. When's the last time they played? Like in the 50s?
I have no idea.
At that point.
Anyway, I guess Real Madrid have never beaten Liverpool, apparently, from what I read. So hopefully that was accurate.
yeah, let's hope so. Are you going to get some feedback, blowback for that comment, I'm sure.
I covered other big games. There's some bigger games on the Wednesday, actually. Monaco-Benfica doesn't ring true to, you know, casual soccer fans, but to you and I and you know, the listeners, I'm sure it has a bit more importance. Galatasaray-Dortmund is a big game, as is Bayer Leverkusen, Zenit-St. Petersburg, and Olympiacos-Juve. I don't think Ludogorets Basel is quite in that category, but...
No, and even Atletico Madrid and, like, Malmo. Malmo does solid in the Swedish league, but you can't anticipate them going into Atletico and getting anything out of that.
No, especially Atletico, you know, win at the weekend, kind of... Got
rounding it out, we also have Bayer, Zenit, and Anderlecht and Arsenal. Arsenal, I think, would need to take max points here.
Yeah, they could do that. Where are Arsenal on our table? They're second. They're 3 points behind Dortmund. Dortmund have won both games, remember? And then, but they traveled to Galatasaray.
And Arsenal lost to Dortmund too, did they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, in the first round. So, you know, tricky start. Liverpool, they could. I don't know. I mean, they're 3 points behind Real Madrid. I would think they'd take a point here, especially considering their league form. Yeah. And obviously, Real Madrid. We don't need to talk about how good they are.
I think Real Madrid winning this game.
Big week for Real Madrid, though.
It basically locks up this group.
Away to Liverpool and then home to Barcelona. That's a pretty big,
yeah,
you know,
it's a juicy
5 days, 4 or 5 days for.
I mean, maybe there's some hope for you know, Liverpool, that Real is looking a little ahead to that derby battle.
But I'd be shocked. I mean,
they're too deep and too good.
Yeah, I mean, their second team's better than most teams' first team, right?
A Real win would certainly stranglehold this group, Group B, early.
Yeah, especially if Basel don't win either against Ludogorets, because Basel and Liverpool are tied with 3 points each.
Yeah.
In second place in that group. So the Group A, though, with Atletico, Juve, Malmo, and Olympiacos, all four teams have won one and lost one. So that group is really wide open. So a chance for a couple of teams to maybe pick up a win and put a bit of a stranglehold on that group.
Well, Matty, that's all we got for today. Episode 20. 2-0.
2-0, done and dusted.
Historical significance today on Footy Roundup. Cheers for listening.